Hey there, green future growers. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer, and let's get growing. I'm pushing record.
Just consistency.
Yeah. Well,
you can do it.
A lot of people have been telling me that's the success of my show. I've been struggling this week because I went on Google Analytics the other day and 25,000 people have gone to my website and left within 10 seconds.
Oh.
And I'm kind of like having this huge hard time with that. But I'm trying to tell myself, don't even just
that's
like.
Probably what most people do to every website. But
the next 25,000 people, or maybe after the summer, I will find something there for the next 25,000 people. Because the interesting thing is it's almost all organic search.
Oh.
So people are getting to my website because people have told me a lot of times they're like, because your show notes are so long and so detailed, you probably have really good SEO. And I'm always like, I have no idea. No, I know nothing. Maybe they are. But anyway, so one of these days I'm going to have the right content for those people when they get there. And I still have my amazing listeners.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
Yeah. I can understand why that would feel disappointing.
I was like 10 seconds. Like it always tells me the average is a minute 30, but to see that 25,000 people, like it actually, like I clicked on some page. Google Analytics is like this, you know, rabbit hole or whatever you can get into and like keep going. And it keeps getting bigger and bigger and more stats all the time. Every time I go in there, there's some new thing I find. And like, he's like, oh. But
remember,
I don't
know. I don't like that stuff. So I don't have to worry about getting caught in the rabbit hole.
Well,
not my forte, but
part of me is like, I should just quit doing the show notes. But part of me is like, I do the show notes for me because one,
you learn from it.
I learn from it. I learn a ton and it helps me like stay current. So like when I'm talking with a guest, I can remember what the other people said and kind of like tie it all together, you know? And also I think someday I'm going to write a book. I'll have all that content there to pull from.
Yeah. Yeah, I think show notes are great. And maybe there is a way to do it that finds a middle ground, you know, where it's easier
something
to
read
and it still gives you everything you need.
Yeah. So anyway, what's cooking? I finally tried the golden milk. It was so good and it was so
perfect
because I woke up from a bad dream.
Good to hear it.
At like 2:30 in the morning and I could not go back to sleep and that worked like a charm.
Oh, that's so good to hear. And that's the bad dream part, but that it worked to help you go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for sharing that. It's amazing how some of these tools, I think, you know, the mystery and the magic is sometimes in the intention even more than the food, which feels a little bit, I don't know, blasphemous to say, but I think to me, the power of cooking and preparing food has so much to do with pausing and just being with the ingredients and exploring what is it like to just be peeling a carrot right now or grinding up spices for the golden milk. And to me, that's like the preparation for our digestion is slowing down to be able to use our senses to experience what we're preparing to receive the thing that we're cooking for us. And if we're cooking something, if we're preparing in that way, it's likely that it's something that's easier to digest anyway. And we've calmed our nervous system in a way that can then receive. And so I'm grateful to hear that preparing and drinking the golden milk was something that served you so well.
Well, I could say so many things right there. Quickly, I'm going to mention. So I was listening to this podcast, trying to fall asleep, and I found this like really cool podcast. It's Gwyneth Paltrow. It's called Goop, though, and it's like her, and it's produced by Oprah Winfrey. And so the introductory interview is her interviewing Oprah Winfrey. And Oprah completely talks about the biggest secret to her life is being present, and exactly what you said. Like, she is present in every single like second of her life, it sounds like, when she's talking. Like, that's where she's gotten to. The other thing I want to tell you is, like, so I texted you that my phone died, and so I have my old phone out from like 2016. And so it's got all these old podcasts on it. You know, it's an old iPhone 4. It won't do anything. It won't download anything. It won't, like, it's barely like hanging in there at all. But so it's got these old podcasts on it. And one of them is with the, one's with the, it's, there's two Lewis Howes podcasts that were still on there. And one was with the founder of Organifi. And he talks about micronutrients and the importance of, I can't even say it, but Ayurveda nutrition.
Yeah.
And just so was so right on, and so many things I needed to hear. And I just thought it was such a coincidence. So I just wanted to tell
you that. It's the right time for you to feel that. Well, and Oprah doesn't know it, but she's totally my homegirl. The present. Maybe someday she'll find that out. Yeah.
Oh, I always tell everybody.
I love hearing that.
When Oprah goes to your website, you don't want it to be brand new. You want it to be when you've been there for a while and have something for her to look at. So I totally think Oprah will go to your website if that's what you're dreaming about.
That would be
great. Think Hillary Clinton's going to come have tea in my garden.
Ooh, you know that we have the same birthday, Hillary Clinton and I.
You do?
And me. October 26th, Scorpio. I'm sure this is what our listeners are wanting to hear right now.
I always think it's funny because I thought last year her and Bernie should have come having a debate because Mike was like he's so anti-Hillary, and just my mom was like the biggest Hillary supporter, and I'm kind of like, I became a teacher because of Hillary, but I feel like she changed in the Senate, and I don't know. No, actually, the one thing I learned about Google Analytics is my listeners are really into politics. Like, before, after, next to gardening sites, they go to news. They're news junkies, just like my husband, Mike.
Oh, wow.
That's so it's weird.
Fascinating.
Google, yeah. They know everything. My mom and my husband are so appalled by the Facebook thing, and I'm just like, okay, it's 2018. Anything you put online, you should be expected to be stolen, used, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook's not going anywhere. It's time to buy stock. Like, that's my whole attitude about Facebook. They just started taking payments. They're only getting bigger. Like, I don't know how many people have sent me money on Facebook in the last month over Messenger, or have been like, pay me through Messenger on Facebook even. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think Facebook's going anywhere myself. They bought Instagram.
Well, and all of this is, and all right, which I love Instagram. That's my
everybody
favorite
loves
social
Instagram.
Media. Although I do threaten quite often to throw my phone and my computer in the river, and I have recently, within the last few days, really reflected on the ideal lifestyle. My ideal lifestyle would involve technology an hour a day or less. That's a long ways off, because now I'm like 4 or 5 at least. And I'm just thinking about when I am the happiest. My phone is on airplane mode. My computer is nowhere near me. And I'm with people, or I'm in the kitchen, or I'm in nature. And, you know, all of these tools to connect us, you know, we know they isolate us in a way. And in some way, it brings me back to cooking and wanting to share a little bit with you about what I wanted to talk about today, because it really involves that pause that we already talked about and how to do that and why to do that in the springtime. Are you ready for that transition?
I'm totally ready.
Okay. So, Jackie, it's time for a cleanse for me, at least. Every year, twice a year, I do some kind of cleanse that involves often the Ayurvedic meal called Khichdi, which is mung beans, split yellow mung beans, and basmati rice with whatever vegetables are in season, and some cilantro and cumin, coriander, fennel, ginger, turmeric, and black pepper and sea salt and maybe an avocado and some herbal tea, and that's it. And that's a mono diet for 3 to 7 days. And in the winter, or the fall transition into winter, I really stick to that mono diet. It's grounding, it's heavy, it's nourishing. The body it digests it very well, very easily. It's simple. The mung bean is the most easy to digest legume for most people, and the basmati, the white basmati rice, is actually easier to digest than brown rice, so they'll use quinoa or amaranth, or just stick with the dal, the beans themselves. And the spices, just like in the golden milk, help to digest the bean and to eliminate gas. We've talked about that a little bit. But in the springtime, often what I will do, and I haven't done this yet, but it's getting close to time, probably next week or the week after, I'll do about a week-long cleanse where I will not just only have kitchery, because in the springtime I crave lighter things. So I'll probably have some kind of green smoothie in the morning, kitchery at lunch, a big heavy meal that really nourishes and grounds me, and then probably either a salad or some cooked vegetables or steamed vegetables with some kind of sesame oil in the evening. And cutting out alcohol and sugar and processed foods. And it can be challenging. That can be really challenging, especially as the weather starts to get really beautiful and people are busy and people want to play and do fun things. But it also is a great time to pause, because the food gets simpler and everything simplifies. And I find that it's really an opportunity to slow down. And if I'm not drinking or, you know, going out with people, then it's a good time to be reflective, to journal, to get more sleep. And so I wanted to share a little bit about a kitchery cleanse, a spring cleanse, or what does it mean to pause not only in our minds and but in our digestive systems as well.
Can you spell kitchery?
Yeah, so here's the interesting thing with Sanskrit, is it's a phonetic language. So some people spell it kitchari with a T, K-I-T-C-H-A-R-I, and some people spell it kichardi with a D, kichardi. And so it doesn't matter too much. You can find it either way, and I'll post my recipe on my website so folks can find it. And I also like the recipe at lifespa.com, my teacher, Dr. John Dulliard. But really, it's a simple, easy to digest food that's mung bean based. I like to add turmeric, coriander, cumin, fennel, ginger, black pepper, sometimes cardamom. Almost always top it with cilantro or another fresh herb. If you're needing the extra fats, you can use avocado, some sesame oil, or ghee. And I love food, and so I find that when I'm cleansing, even if I'm eating a mono diet, I still have to be mindful of how much I'm eating. Like, for some people, eating the same thing over and over again will bore them and they won't eat as much. But for me, I still really love food. So it's a really interesting time to observe my eating habits.
Well, I'm so confused, because this doesn't sound like, it sounds so good. I'm like, that sounds so good. Where's the cleanse coming in? Like, I keep waiting for you to be like, and then the next day you do this and don't, but you just eat for a week. Like, this sounds awesome.
Well, this is a great question. So in the spring, I tend to have the kitchery at lunch and eat lighter breakfasts and suppers, because it's a heavier season and I'm wanting to feel lighter. The idea really with the kitchery cleanse is simplification and easing the digestion. So when people do a juice fast, it's the same similar concept, right? The blending of the juices, the simplification of what the body's taking in, makes it easier to digest. I don't recommend a juice fast for very many people. And if you want to know more about that, you can ask me, contact me directly. But the reason that we do the kitchery cleanse is we still want to get enough nutrients, but we want it to be simple on the body so that we're still cleansing. We're still cleansing the colon. We're still simplifying. We're slowing our bodies down. And yeah, it can still taste good. It doesn't have to be brutal. I actually just wrote a blog post about, you know, is my ego brutal? Do I brutalize myself when I could actually use a little more compassion when I want change? And I think there are ways, and this is what I love about Ayurveda, is that there are ways to up-level our physical health, our mental well-being, our emotional well-being, without being brutal. And I think, you know, a Khichdi cleanse is different than a fast, although it could be combined with something like that. But I think the entry level approach is to, you know, even more than changing your diet, is to simply slow down. And I think making the same meal multiple days in a row, making enough in the morning for all three meals. I often have more at lunch, and I'll just have the vegetables at dinner, or I'll have like a soupy version at breakfast with cinnamon and ginger and just the mung beans and rice, like a porridge. Mm-hmm. It really helps me mentally, emotionally, physically to slow down. And I notice I have less gas, less likely to feel constipated, less likely to have any kind of digestive issues come up that might come up when I eat out with friends or I have alcohol or I do all these different things. And it also helps me to find a rhythm, because it is a challenge to do something like that for that long, especially if you're social or you eat with other people. You know, it does require maybe bringing your food places, which then incorporates this other element of focus and discipline, which again involves that sort of slowing down and paying attention. And for folks who are like, yeah, I'm not going to do that, want to click off right now, it could even just be one day, you know, one day where you simplify your food, whether it's Khichdi or not, or you're just saying, all right, today I'm going to cook all my own meals. That might be the edge. Or I might eat all local food, or I might cut out processed foods or just sugar or just caffeine, to give the body a break from having to do the extra work that we require of it when we put things in our body that don't help us to just be at that equilibrium of ease. And it's a great time of year to do it, because it's a season of congestion. I can even hear it and feel it in my sinuses as I talk. And we want to break that up. We want to get ready to be light and playful and up here in Montana on the river and on the mountains, and feel good and springy in our bodies instead of weighed down by winter.
Well, I am definitely feeling weighed down by winter, and feeling good and springy sounds awesome. I did just go to the track, but then yeah. I never got out of my car because I was like, I gotta get home to make my phone call. But it's definitely getting, I went this morning before school, but I was gonna do a bonus run after school. I'm trying, wow. But man, I feel like I'm going three steps forward or three steps backward and one step forward. Like, I am not making progress this spring.
You know, Jackie, I'm sorry you're feeling that way. And I can relate in the sense that I've been in CrossFit, and this morning I felt that way. Totally. I felt like, I'm the slowest one here. Why am I doing this? I am not going to get any stronger. Push-ups are getting harder every day. I'm really sore all the time. And yes. And so it's interesting to hear, and it's affirming, because I think sometimes when we make progress, and this happens in a cleanse too, we sometimes feel worse before we get better. And sometimes things just get messier before they get better. It's like we have to clear all the gunk out. And the body's recalibrating if it's a physical routine. And the digestive system's recalibrating, which might mean that, you know, some things move through us that we didn't know were in us. And that can happen mentally and emotionally too. So sometimes a cleanse or upping our physical game can feel worse before it gets better. And I know that that's the case for me, not only with CrossFit, but with any physical change or dietary change. And I think it's part of the process. It kind of makes me think about cleaning out my closet. And I actually recently moved my bed into my closet, and my closet into the other part of my bedroom, and my office where my bed was. That was a big project. And it was like, oh my gosh, there was so much stuff. In order to get clear and clean and organized, there was just all this gunk that really had to be removed, whether it was vacuumed or donated or reorganized. And the body isn't dissimilar from that. the price. Cool.
I like all this. It definitely goes with spring cleaning. And Mike's even been feeling kind of that. He's like, wow, I haven't done any, because he's really finally getting in the dirt and digging in his garden. And today he planted, I want to say he said 345 potatoes, but then
I think
it was really four rows of 45 potatoes each. I don't know. It's some outrageous amount, but he's been out there like every day. Like the other day, it's like seven o'clock at night, and he starts the rototiller up. I'm like, you're going to do that now? I'm like passing out on the couch, and he's like out there. So I can hear that, because like I can see that he's been sore and stuff. Yeah. So
yeah.
And I'm sure and so lots of listeners are relating. Sorry.
Yeah. And I think you're good. I think it's still okay to be compassionate with ourselves. And this is when I think the compassion game can get a little confusing. It's like, okay, what does it look like to be compassionate with myself when my body's hurting or I'm cleansing, and yet I still want to stay on track? And I think, you know, the habit in our culture is to reward ourselves with food. But if we're trying to change our diet, or we're trying to eat local food, or trying to, you know, simplify, then it can become complicated. And so I guess just as we're talking about cleansing, if it comes up that you find a lot of, you're being very judgmental, self-judgmental, I know a practice that I like is to think about, how can I nourish myself without food? So if I'm craving, you know, warmth and this heaviness and connection, then like maybe it's time for a bath, or to get in bed early and read a good book, or to ask a lover or partner or friend for a massage, or to snuggle with my dog, or, you know, to call an old friend, and to really look at like, how are the ways that we show up for ourselves, and can we do them without putting a bunch of junk in our bodies? And trust me, I do that too sometimes. But if we're thinking about cleansing, sometimes that comes up where we can feel empty or disconnected. And so I guess I just encourage folks to up the compassion. Like, how can you nourish yourself in this moment? What would you say to a friend that you can say to yourself? How can you meet your need for more comfort without breaking whatever pattern you're trying to create?
Aww, I like all that. Well, you know, I have been having this weird craving for carrots lately, and I think that kind of falls in this. And then I actually took a day off of work the other day, a sick day, and I went for like a big long walk with my best friend. And I was like, if anybody asks, I'm going to say you are my doctor, my therapist. I had to see.
Keith's like, catch you playing hooky.
Yes, because I needed that day. Like, I was like, I'm not gonna make it through this spring without it. Like, sometimes you just gotta do that. So I think that's what you're saying. Oh, and then the other thing I was gonna say is, I have like disconnected my TV. Like, I'm shutting, like, I'm not even watching TV at night most nights, and just getting a book and crawling into bed. I mean, I already have an alarm that goes off at 8:30 that says go to bed.
To remind you. Yeah.
But I've been getting up at 4:30 again. So that's good for me. That works for me.
I need to do that.
Yeah, I'm finally the daylight savings thing is not. So that's how I made it to the park at 6:15 this morning to go walk in as the sun was coming up.
Yeah. So beautiful. It's coming up earlier and earlier. I'm like, oh man, I no longer can say that I'm stuck in the gym when the sun is coming up. It's coming up before I go, so I have to get up earlier.
And I have the most gorgeous view in the Rocky Mountain front. Like, nobody understands the Rocky Mountain front until you see it. It is just spectacular. This park I walk in, it's like breathtaking every morning I can get there.
That's so amazing.
Oh, it's.
I took a bike ride this weekend out in Kalispell, and it was just gorgeous. Just, you know, and taking in the mountains. And the mountains to me are why I moved out here from Michigan. They're an anchor. They remind me that I'm small, which I need the reminder of sometimes. And I'm also held. And that is, it's so powerful to witness.
Well, I ended up driving through Glacier Park not once, but twice this weekend. And everybody thought I was crazy. But I was like, I need to drive and listen to podcasts. And I also edited two of my podcasts while I was driving, which was really cool. But I managed to put up a bonus Earth Day episode up. Because I came back on Saturday, it was senior portfolio day, and you go to the high school and the seniors in Browning, it's like this tradition here at the high school, they make their high school kids create this portfolio of all the stuff they've done and have to have a resume in it and their college applications and a job application, all this cool stuff. I don't know. It's just the neatest thing. You can't understand it until you go. And sometimes you get to see some of their cool culture. You know, you have kids who like, you know, are artists or singers or dancers, or you just get all these really cool different kids showing off their stuff they've done in high school for 4 years. So I never miss this day. But I usually go home and come back and then drive home. And everybody thinks I'm crazy. But sometimes I just need that. Like I need that downtime to just look at the beauty of Montana and those mountains and be in my car. And it's just spectacular. And anyway, I'm a little off topic here, but I love all this that you've talked about today. I think people will like this.
I hope so. I hope so. And I actually have to hop off because I have a marketing call with folks that I'm doing a retreat with in October at Dancing Spirit Ranch in Columbia Falls, and talk about a beautiful view and property. And that will be a place where I'm doing some cooking demos and people can learn some of these recipes I'm sharing. And we're going to spend a lot of time outside and moving our bodies. And the retreat is called Fearless Self-Love at Home in Your Heart. And so we're going to really explore what does it mean to be at home in our own hearts and content with what is. And so it will be during fall cleanse time.
That is a wonderful time to come to Montana, listeners. If you want to come visit in Montana, that's an awesome time to be here in the fall. It's so gorgeous and you can still get into the park and there's not a lot of tourists around, which is really nice. You're going to be in Essex? Is that what you said?
Absolutely. No, in Columbia Falls.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, Columbia Falls at Dancing Spirit Ranch. Yep, and they're calling me right now, Jackie, so I have to hop off. But
thanks,
I'm
Andrea.
Super grateful for this time. Okay. Have a good night.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Today's episode is sponsored by the Awesome Science Action Club. You can join Mrs. Beyer and learn different science action, citizen science action projects or lessons or adventures to have at home that meet the Common Core and are going to be fun. So join Mrs. Beyer's Awesome Science Action Club by simply going to awesomescienceactionclub.com. If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.